Yeah. This must have been a garden at one time. This is where the graves is over there.
That's somewhere. The cemetery, yeah. This one, this is a garden, this is a cemetery.
Yeah. I walked all through there and you could see the wooden headstones all fell down, but they were there. Wow. That was 1992.
Okay.
Yeah, 1990.
That's the last time you were here?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, 92 was the last time I was here. First time I was here was 1990. Yeah. And the last time was 92, yeah.
That's cool. Very cool. So your mom said she lived up from the brook, on the upper side of the brook?
Upper side of the brook, she said, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you said all the male died?
Yeah. Yeah, there's hardly anybody left.
In 1918 here, between the ages of about 14 and 30, there was 2.5 pages, long pages like this, males. In 1999, next year, quarter of one page.
Yeah, of people, This is 100 years ago this year. This is right around this time is when people were sick.
Yeah.
My grandfather, his name was Gustav Pommer. He had a crew of men trap boat and cod traps. Yeah. He did done really well.
Yes, boy.
Yeah. This was a prosperous community.
Yeah.
People, there was no welfare, nothing like that, right?
Yeah.
Back then. They done the salmon, the char, codfish, and then in the fall the seals.
Yeah. It's just amazing, and there's been nobody living. There's been no permanent community here since Nutak closed in 1956. So all that time, there's been really not much pressure on any of the wildlife here. So this is a place you could live as a hunter gatherer here and be wealthy.
Yeah. Amazing.
This bay is just awesome.
Like you said, just all the tribe.
And the seals, that was so cool coming out there. Like big seals, look like square flipper seals and everything. They're lying on the ice.
I wonder what we should do, in the way of a ceremony.
Sarah's documenting it. We're going to come back. It's going to be a big event.
So this was taken from somewhere.
Alright, I'll ask you to move your head here. I wrote this prayer this morning at 4 o'clock. I stole some of the words from some stuff that I found, but not much. It's a prayer for those that lived and passed so suddenly in this hallowed place. Future, present, and past. Losing a culture is losing a value, and we know that we never lose the people that live in our memories. They continue to live in our actions, thoughts, and decisions. We make in the decisions we make as they have made a strong imprint on our memories. We know that we will find comfort in knowing that our lives have been enriched by sharing our common heritage. The life of a soul on earth lasts beyond departure. We will always feel those lives that perished here touching our lives. They are a thousand winds that blow, the diamonds that sparkle on the frozen snow, the summer rain. They are the soft stars that shine at night. They are what we feel from this land. Do not think of them as gone. They are with us in each new dawn. They walk beside us each day. The sun, moon, wind, stars will forever be here. And I always say Uxanai. And Uxanai to me means be strong. Thank you for being here.
The reason that we're here and the significance of this moment.
Well, the reason we're here, from my perspective, is this is the 100-year anniversary of the Spanish Flu that completely wiped this community off the face of the earth, actually. This year is being commemorated all over the world, and especially in Canada, and especially, in my opinion, should be commemorated in Labrador because of the tremendous loss that we suffered among our people.
And so your mother was born here, eh?
Yes, my mother was born here, yeah. She said on the upper side of the brook, so I'm taking that to be the west end of the harbor. So,
okay.
Yeah, she left here when she was... her birthday was the 30th of August, so she was just turned six. And the flu hit in November, so she was only 3 or 4 months into being 6 years old. And she stayed here then until the winter when she had an uncle that come from Davis Inlet area to pick her up and took her down and reared her up.
And did she tell you stories about Okok?
Oh, yeah, she told stories about Okok, yeah, about the flu in particular, how people died and how sudden the death was and things that they had to endure, you know? Like, my mother was only 6 years old. She said she went out one morning to get some wood from the chopping block by the door, and those dogs were wild, running wild. Like, they weren't nobody to take care of them. They weren't being fed. So mother said, this dog runs at her. And she, 6 years old, she ran back in the house, got a gun, and came out and shot the dog.
Wow.
And I killed him dead, yep. She also talked about how quick the death was. Like, people would come by and they would seem normal. Seemed like anything wrong with them. And her parents were dead. So they were just pretty well. Aunt Rose, I think, was the oldest. I think she was 10. Aunt Rose was 4. But people would come by to help, right? To get water for them or bring in wood. And mother said they would be normal. They'd come in with an armful of wood, put the wood down by the wood stove, and then kids said, lay them by the stove for a warm up and die just like that. Just like that. Like there was nothing wrong with them at all. And then next thing they were dead, eh?
Yeah.
Pretty hard, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and mother had and Aunt Rosie too, after they left here, they went to live with relatives, but they had real hard times there too.
Oh,
real,
yeah.
Real tough, yeah. Real tough.
Where did they move to another community?
Yes, my mother went down one community, one house community.
Okay.
Yeah, down by Ugliwee, we call it, near present day Nacogdoches Wharf, actually.
Okay.
Pretty close to there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my Aunt Rosie went to Paul's Island with the forts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on the east end of it.
Yeah, east end of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your grandmother was from here too, was she, Sarah?
She was just south of here, I think. Or just
south of here.
Just over there.
Just on the point, kind of thing. Okay.
I never really heard many stories when I was growing up because it was like something she wanted to forget, so she never used to tell me anything about it.
Yeah.
I just remember growing up, though, we was allowed to have dogs. As soon as they start getting aggressive or too protective, she would have them destroyed.
No wonder, because, I mean, it's a story about her when she was 6 or 7 years old. She was in that shack by herself for a couple of weeks, and she had a little boy, baby, a year old, and mother said that the baby was hungry and crying, and she didn't know what to do at 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, so she put the baby down. Dogs grabbed the baby just like that and tore the baby to pieces and ate it right in front of her.
Goodness.
Yeah. Terrible. No wonder she was fussy about the dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But when we were young, we'd always come to Nain to see your grandma and Rosie Webb and Noah Kotziak and Gustav Sillett. Those are all people that survived here, right?
Mm.
Yeah. We said, well, we visited those people. And John Joshua, do you remember him? Who was he Martha's son?
Yep.
Okay, we said visit him. Yeah. And when he came to Goose Bay, we was always a close connection with us, eh? Yeah.
Maybe one of you guys could tell me about the plaque you just placed here in Okok, what it's all about, and why you know, or do you plan to do another one maybe down the road with other people here, or just is there other plans for down the road?
Mm-hmm. So maybe you should start about this particular plaque.
Well, this particular plaque is my doing, I guess, but I did have support from Jamie and I'm getting this done. And I wanted to lay a commemorative plaque for the people that that perished and survived in this place here, because whether people realize or not, this was the most significant event in the Labrador Inuit culture. Nothing came close to what happened here that affected the people. So I think it's honorable to acknowledge them and to pay respect and to erect something in their memories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to do it.
And what are the plans for the future, Jamie? Or are you guys, the committee, still meeting to discuss what they will be doing down the road? Or?
Yeah, so there's a committee that's made up of people representing each of the Inuit communities in Upper Lake Melville and Everyone's got some level of connection to Okak, and some people very close connections to Okak, most of them very close connections to Okak. Mm-hmm. And this group is guiding how the Nunatsiavut government can commemorate this event. So there's a terms of reference with the committee, and that will exist until the end of March at least.
Yep.
And so the committee is making plans to do things like this. And there's another event coming up next week to mark this. And then there's plans coming for next year for a larger event to bring people to the site and to have a ceremony and be all together and so on. So the details are still being worked out, and basically the committee will come up with a plan and with a budget, and that will go to the executive council who will then make a decision on it. So 2019 there will be something happening related to Okak, something larger for sure.
If somebody had an idea for you guys, okay, maybe you guys could do this or you could do that, how would they let you know? Like, would they contact the committee members, or they just call you at Nunatsiavut, Jamie?
Either one would work, yeah. So they could contact me, or they could contact the minister or the deputy minister or the president, or contact Alex or anybody on the committee. Brenda Jurassic is another person that they could contact. Almost anybody. You can call anybody at the admin building in Maine, they'll put you through to the right people to talk to pretty quick.
Yeah.
What has been the response, or what has people been saying about the plans, or what they hope to see?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to approach answering that. I think maybe a good thing would be to talk about the way that the committee has been, the work that's happened there, and the things that people have been bringing to the committee and so on. Like, that is one option. I don't know if you want to speak to that.
Yeah, oh yes. Well, the committee, I'm glad to be a part of the committee. All of us got connections to here. I may have one of the most direct connections. I'm son of a survivor. My mother died in 1996. She was the last person alive from Mokak. She was the end of an era, right? So the committee is important to me to get my ideas, what I want to see done to like I said earlier, to honor the people from here. So the committee has got some good people, some good ideas, and I think given some time, we may have some rough times along the way, but that's to be expected. But given time, I think we'll be able to come up with some good ideas of how to promote the Inuit culture. I'm particularly interested in that. I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but I got no interest at all in continuing to do things that's going to immortalize the Moravian missionaries. That's not my cup of tea at all. I wanted to concentrate on the Inuit people, the Inuit culture. And I think this committee is going to allow me to do that. So it's important for me.
I don't know if you guys got anything else to add about the ceremony here today, or maybe how important it is to have a committee and input from people.
I think that is absolutely crucial under these circumstances. I think that, well, there's a lot to say. I think it's a very powerful thing to be able to be here, you know, especially this particular time, you know, 100 years from the time that these events were happening, to be here with you guys, and to be a part of, you know, a plaque being installed like this. This is just sort of a once-in-a-lifetime kind of a thing. So I feel very lucky and humbled to be here and so on. And I think a committee, kind of a structure for guiding how to deal with something like this, is absolutely crucial. I think if one person was sort of on their own trying to figure out what to do and how this should be dealt with, it would be wrong. And I think that people, it would just upset people and so on. You know, like you got so many people in Labrador who are connected to this place, that you need to have a lot of voices to guide what's done to commemorate what happened here.
Each member got something specific that they can add right to the committee. So that's the important, like Jamie said, that one person would be I don't think justice would be done to this area here. But with the committee, especially with the committee who got connections here, then I think we'd be doing the right thing. We're on right road.
And the other wonderful thing about the committee is that the members are really reaching out to other members of their communities and trying to find out what should happen and things like that. So they are trying to work, you know, as many voices as possible into what happens, you know.
Yeah, that's right, because they put notices on Facebook, and next week, on the 8th, and I think some places the 9th, there's going to be a special evening with a feast, and elders talking about this, what happened here, and they're going to show The Last Days of Ukok, the film. I think your grandma's in that too. Yes, and my mother's the first person you see in that film, actually. So we're going to make people aware right about what happened here and what the people, survivors, had to go through and how the people died here. My God, I mean, I know stories like from Noah Kwatsiak in Nain a long time ago, 50 years ago, said that they went into a house, they knew a house that always had candy for them. So they went into the house to get candy, and everybody was dead there. They were seen sitting up to the table, sitting around the table, sitting up dead. You know, it's just, oh, what terrible experiences that must have been for young boys, right?
Yeah.
So we want to bring that to the forefront. And one of the things that I'm going to make a point of is that as a result of the tragedy that happened here, it just shows how resilient the Inuit are and how we can benefit from adversity. You know, how we can spring back and continue on with our lives, right? And that's important.
Mm. I don't have any other questions, but if there's anything else you'd like to add? Well, I do have a question. It's like, do you hope that someday in the school, more about this or other events that happened in Inuit history would be taught to the students and make it part of the curriculum, not just...
Yeah.
Okay, it's a video you're going to show to pass time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, like Alex said, this is a very critically important event in Inuit history. It really changed everything. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it should be taught in schools. And there was some interesting curriculum work happening over the past few years, and it does include some things like this, you know, and more, much more of a focus on Inuit culture than has ever existed here in the past, you know. So it's really nice to have the opportunity to be a part of that too.
Yeah, but things are happening along those lines. I wrote a book about 10 or 15 years ago, Aulak, and used in schools in Nain, and everywhere from Goose Bay to Nain, all along the coast. So that's never happened before. It was all these books from Jesus, Dick and Jane and Spot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and cultures we don't know nothing about, but now we're starting to get things done and integrate our own culture into the educational system, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good mission culture here that you know, it's as interesting and amazing as any other in the world, you know, and it should be celebrated, and you know, kids should have access to it.
Well, look at this, for God's sake. Look, I mean, it's beautiful land, but it's so barren and harsh and cold and rugged, and the people flourished here. I mean, we have something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, too.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Yeah.